It literally went from just smoke to full on flames.
Because you opened the door and let oxygen in.
I guess, yeah, you know what? Maybe that's what it was. Wait, I forgot to swallow.
Did you hear that?
No.
You didn't?
Do it again.
I don't have enough saliva to swallow.
Oh, that was a good one. That was a good one. That was a good one.
This is the weird stuff we do before we start recording.
Oh, are we going? Okay.
Yeah.
Welcome back, guys, to another.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Cousin
Connection
Podcast.
Sorry. Let me get this phone out of my pocket. 1 second.
Why'd you put it away?
I don't know why I put it away. Even though we have the thing now. We're good. Yeah, we got upgrade. We got a whiteboard now.
The writing's a little chicken scratchy, but...
Yeah, but, you know, as long as, like, I can sort of understand it...
Amir? I'll
bring it to you. What?
Why do you write your Zeds like that?
How do I write my Zeds?
Like, oh,
with the thing? I don't know why you do that. They have no context for why I'm saying you're even saying that.
He wrote a Z or a Z if you're American, and then, like, a little dash.
Doesn't everyone do that?
No! I've only ever seen parents write like that.
With the Z?
Yeah.
No, it's so you don't think it's a 2.
Is that why?
I think. I don't know. I just made that up right now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I do, yeah. My writing's not the best. I literally wrote that sideways because I'm a lefty.
Oh, yeah.
All my lefties know, like, the lefty problems, man. Trying not to
smudging
wash off or smudge off whatever you're writing down. Because, like, especially on a whiteboard, you're just asking for that to happen.
Wait, what? So, I get it.
Yeah, because your hand is going sideways. For me, I write sideways. Uh-huh. I write, like, when I'm going from left to right.
Yeah.
Like, my hand drags across the paper. That's why, like, even when we were back in the day in, like, elementary school, you know, we use, like, paper and pencil. Even then, like, that's why the pages looked so smudged and, like, so, like, dirty.
Hamad?
Yeah, Hamad. It's because you'd be like rubbing it with your arm instead
Damn,
of when
really like
righties who like write in a vertical form instead of horizontal.
Mm.
Yeah, you guys write vertically, I think, right? No?
Some people write like this.
Sideways?
Yeah.
But I guess it's not going over what they Yeah, the fact that it's fresh makes it worse. But yeah.
That's like a unspoken trauma that you have.
Also, I never thought I would still, to this day, I still get people saying, oh, you eat with your left hand? Yeah, there are probably people listening to this right now and be like, oh, he eats with his left.
I remember.
I tried, people. I continue to try.
I
just
that
can't.
That was such a big thing when you were a kid.
Yeah, it is still a big thing,
Ms.
man.
Keen, you were shamed.
I'm still being shamed to this day. But like, then I'll try it mm-hmm. and then I'll drop food on myself and be like, look what you did.
Really?
Yeah.
You can't do it with your
like
left?
If I do it, I feel like a baby. Like it literally, I can't.
Feel unstable.
Like it just doesn't feel right.
No way.
Yeah.
For those of you that are like, why does it matter left or right hand when you eat? Is because in Islam, it's better to eat with your
exactly.
Right hand.
Yeah, there are many sayings on it, but like I've tried and I still continue to try. But you know, that's why I like finger food more. I mean, big food like burritos.
Yeah.
Eat with both hands.
No discrimination.
Yeah,
there.
No discrimination. There.
You're like, well, gotta use both hands now. So
yeah, so it's whatever, man.
It is what it is.
Yeah. So there's actually a story I wanted to start with
yeah.
because you know you told a pretty crazy story last week. You got
I
a
did.
Lot of comments
yeah,
reacting
for,
to it.
Yeah, thanks for finding
Maybe we can
my
cover
story.
Those later.
Funny.
Yeah. but something actually happened to us mm-hmm. the other day. So let me set it up.
Kay.
You know, every couple weeks or so, you know, you're doing laundry or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You throw all your stuff into the machine. The washer was going. We these washers and dryers that we had because of the new condo. They're pretty old,
mm-hmm.
but they're doing the job for the most part.
Okay.
When we first got to the apartment, they told us like, "Oh, make sure you like clear out the lint thing." And
yeah.
the dude showed us this lint box or like area above the dryer, and we thought that's what it was. And I would clean it like every 3 washes or something, and it would have like barely anything on it. I was like, damn, this must be a very efficient dryer, right?
So you thought.
So I thought. Mm-hmm. And then I never, because our dryer at home, at least in my original home, was like the area where it collects the lint is part of the actual dryer, right?
Like the opening?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like on the bottom part.
Yes.
And I didn't know that there are some dryers where they have it like on the door. So, I opened the door and I saw something that I originally thought was just a filter because it was so gray. Tell me why I opened this thing And I check inside. It's literally like 2 or 3 inches thick.
A mirror.
Of layers of dust. And this also explained why it took literally like 5 hours just to dry a single thing.
You didn't question it the first time?
At first, we were like, oh, it must be just a very old dryer. Like, oh, you know, God. Maybe we should ask for a new dryer or whatever.
Yeah, you definitely would have started a fire.
Yeah, well, so move on. You know, 2 or 3 months later, we figure that out. Mm-hmm. We start clearing out the lint or whatever.
Okay.
And as the machine is drying, we start hearing this like scratching sound, right? We're like, oh shit, maybe like, you know how sometimes you have some metal objects on your clothing? Mm. So we're like, oh, let's check it. Let's see if we have like something might have fallen out and it's just hitting the bottom. We're hearing that. And we didn't find that at first. So when we closed it again, we kept it running and we're like, it's still making that scratch sound. So we pulled out everything mm-hmm. from the dryer and we put it in thinking like, oh, maybe we'll just, there's something we forgot. Let's just try and run it with nothing inside there. Mm-hmm. And we continue to hear the scratching. But as we heard the scratching, like, I'm getting ready to open this thing up again. I'm like, I'm smelling, like, it smells like smoke a little bit, right?
Does your door, like, can you see inside the dryer?
No, you can't see inside. So I'm, like, smelling smoke. I'm like, oh, what is that smell, right? So I open up the door, and I see smoke, like, rising from the back of it. And I've never, fire is a weird thing. It literally went from just smoke to full-on flames.
Because you opened the door and let oxygen in.
I guess, yeah, you know what? Maybe that's what it was.
Science, literally.
Literally, I open the door, I see a little bit of smoke, and then just flames coming out of the back of this dryer.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and then it starts like, when I say this, because it was lint, right? And lint apparently is like...
flammable?
Very flammable, like yeah. Super flammable.
I can see
that. To the point where it almost went from like a regular small fire mm-hmm. that you might get on like your stove or whatever, to a full out like blaze. And thankfully, alhamdulillah, we just had a bunch of bottles on top of the dryer. Mm-hmm. So I started taking those bottles, emptying, like opening up the caps and just spraying, like literally squeezing and letting it spray into the back of the dryer. And thankfully, it only took like 2 or 3 bottles for it to fully extinguish the flames.
Yeah.
And now we're like investing. We're like, how did this happen? Like we were clearing out the lint, but apparently this dryer, I guess because of its age or whatever, or how it was set up or where it was, it was collecting dust behind the dryer itself. And there was like a thick layer of dust that was starting to collect.
You mean
there.
Lint, right?
Lint, sorry, lint. Okay. That was collecting behind there. And I guess that one, there, whatever was scratching was like scratching metal on metal. It created a spark and that caused the whole flame to build up in the back there. Yeah. So if the thing is, if I didn't open a door, if I didn't look into it within that moment that we were already investigating the issue, it would have like built up into something a lot bigger, because the dryer is not in the main living area, right? Yeah. You're not next to it all the time for the most part, but we were already kind of investigating because of that scratching sound. But if we didn't hear that scratching sound initially and it just kept going, I don't know where we would be right now.
Homeless.
Yeah, it literally...
That's scary, Amir. Yeah,
and I was more surprised that the fire alarm didn't go off.
It didn't?
No. Even though there's smoke, but because, like, I guess the way this place is built, like the kitchen, which also has a dryer, it doesn't have a fire alarm, but the room outside of it does. So the fire has to, like, build up pretty big for it to kind of seep out and go into the living room and then set off the fire alarms.
I have a question.
What?
Did your clothes burn?
No, remember, we pulled out our clothes at this moment. So thankfully, nothing burned inside there. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be getting a new dryer and washer, so, you know.
Oh, you still don't have
That happened. And this happened actually like 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And like there was a whole issue where our landlord was like on vacation or whatever.
Oh, gosh.
So to get a new one, we had to wait like maybe a week or so. Mm-hmm. And we're like, oh, whatever. Okay, we'll wait. We can come here and do our clothes, whatever. But we start building up because we just start forgetting to bring stuff with us. So we were ready for this washer and dryer to like come in. And like delivery services have been, I don't know why they're so unreliable, but they said they're coming on Wednesday. Yeah. Usually on Wednesday, I'm going to work. So I was like, I called my work. I was like, I'm going to just work from home because I need them to come here and like install it. They didn't show up at all. Not even like an update, no nothing. I literally had to message the landlord and be like, hey, where are they? This is at like 4 or 5 p.m. where I'm already done work.
Shoot.
And they're like, oh, they say they might come here by 9 p.m.
I'm
like,
whoa, 9 p.m.? That's late.
Yeah, but they didn't end up showing up anyways.
Oh, my God.
And then their next delivery moved to like Friday.
your other in office day.
Yeah, exactly. So I was like, I can't. I have to go into the office for that. So we were like trying to figure out what's going on. Mm. We were trying to make like accommodations for it. Turns out they never showed up again.
What the heck? Do you have like their number or you just
no? Because the landlord's dealing with this, right?
Got it.
Yeah, and then they're like, "Oh yeah, sorry, we couldn't make it. Still, we're gonna push it to Saturday."
Like yesterday?
Yeah, yesterday.
Oh, okay.
So then, and the thing is that like we were already planning on going somewhere, but we had to cancel that. So yeah, it kind of just ruined the whole week.
Did they give it to you though?
They gave it to us.
Oh, finally!
But turns out, guess what?
What?
It was too big.
They didn't measure? Like, your landlord doesn't know?
No, they measured. Okay. But I guess the person who was, like, upselling them, they told them it would fit, but it technically fits. But the door, you know how sometimes they have, like, the front door thing?
Yes.
That juts out just too far to where the door can't close on it. So, but we're just going to use it. We're like, we're going to use it and say we just practiced. We were just testing it or whatever.
Until they
get another one, yeah.
And then they're going to collect that one.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, so God. It's... Just your deal's not over, but alhamdulillah, we didn't burn down the apartment.
Literally. That's the first lesson of home ownership.
Yeah.
Like, you know, do you guys have a fire extinguisher?
Somewhere. I need to check about that. that was actually someone who asked me that. I'm like, I need to follow up on that. I still haven't followed up. I'm going to check on that.
No, really, you need one.
I do. I know. I need one.
I'm pretty
one.
Sure it's like
I know.
Against the law if you don't have
one. I know. I need to check. I haven't checked yet.
You can get fined.
Yeah, we'll see.
Because if it actually turned into a fire and your place burned down.
Is that something I have to provide?
Technically, your landlord.
Yeah, so I'm going to ask about that. See if they can
give me one. Yeah, let's be like, hey, just
like, they probably do have one. I just didn't
check like the closets or something.
Because I don't remember seeing one ever since I've been in there.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, they need to, don't buy one. They need to provide you with one.
I'll give you all an update on that later.
Yeah, literally.
But one thing I was surprised by is that like, I thought I would freak out in a situation. I didn't really freak out that much when it was happening. I was like, okay, let's just take up some bottles and shoot it.
I thought I'd be like... I think you were panicking, but you were trying to stay calm.
Maybe. I felt like I did pretty well, okay? I felt like I was calm in the situation. I dealt with it appropriately, and it was gone. Call me a fireman at this point.
I mean, that's a load of a stretch. I'm just thinking, like, if I saw fire... Mm-hmm. I'd probably scream at first and then, like, you know, try to quickly extinguish it.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't, like, screaming and staying screaming isn't going to help you.
Yeah, exactly. But, yeah, our apartment hasn't burned down yet.
Don't say yet.
What?
May Allah protect you guys from a fire.
Yeah, inshallah, nothing happens from here. I've had a couple other, you know, close calls.
What else did you do?
You know how, like, sometimes you, like, throw something on the stove? And you let it run for a little bit?
No, that's a you step problem. Outside. I know that's not Hanan. That is a you problem. Because I remember that time you tried to boil water.
What?
You forgot that story?
When the pot turned black? Oh, yeah.
Tell them.
What?
Tell them what you did that day.
I wasn't boiling water. I was boiling vegetables, okay? And I might have forgotten that I was boiling vegetables. So yeah, those vegetables
like,
turned black and completely like destroyed the pot.
How do you forget?
I don't know, man. I just have really bad memory. I the one thing I have learned is that like I either need to set an alarm or just not walk away because I am going to forget about it. Like 100%, like 99% of the time, I will forget about it.
And then it's like the panic that ensues when you realize that you forgot.
It's usually disappointment.
How did I forget?
Yeah, literally. Oh my God.
That's so bad.
Yeah, I'm building a system, okay? I have a system for it now.
So alarm? Do the alarms work?
Yeah, the alarms work.
Good.
Yeah. Okay. Like, or just sticking around and just doing it. Or like, because before I used to just like put it in there and let it, I'll put it in boiling water.
Mm-hmm.
But now I do more like frying. Mm. Where I'll put like a little bit of like sesame oil or something and like fry it. So you have to kind of be there for the whole thing. I don't really boil anything anymore. Maybe that's why I stopped boiling.
Steamed veggies?
Yeah, I don't steam anymore.
The veggies turned black when you were steaming them?
Yeah, because there's no water, right? So it was just sitting at the bottom and it like burnt into the pot. But it's clean. I cleaned that pot. I made sure there was no evidence of that ever happening. It actually looks better than it did before. Moving on.
That's crazy.
Moving on to next segment. I wanted to say that Palestine is free, but there's just been a ceasefire that was announced. And before we even get into it, I wanted to know what your reaction was when you first saw it.
I read it and I was like, wait, what? Mm-hmm. And then I kind of just, before I went into like celebration mode, I was like, let me wait and see what the terms and conditions are first, because we all know.
Yeah.
How this story goes.
Yeah.
So I waited, and then I saw that I think there were still people and children that were being unalived. Mm-hmm. Even after the ceasefire was announced.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I wasn't surprised, honestly. It made me sad because I saw all the like videos and posts of like people celebrating the ceasefire. Mm-hmm. And then to see that Israel is still kind of up to the regular antics, it's just like, what's the point? Like, why give people false hope?
Yeah, like even for me, yeah, that was a very similar reaction that I had, where I was like, oh, like the thing is that the reaction that I thought I would have whenever you hear news like this versus what my reaction actually was very different. Like, I thought I'd be happy.
Yeah.
And like,
I was skeptical.
Yeah, I was very, very skeptical. Like, I didn't even know what to feel. I didn't know if I should feel happy. Like, sure, a lot of the posts from the people who are in Palestine currently, and people in Gaza specifically, they had very positive reactions. Mm-hmm. Because, of course, this is affecting them directly. But like, when you think about the bigger picture and like who they're making this deal with, like, these people have no honor, right? So that's why we were very skeptical about the whole situation and how it would actually play out.
Yeah, like, and then I saw a post kind of saying like how many hostages from each side would be released, and the numbers don't even compare. Like, it's actually kind of crazy, the imbalance.
Yeah.
And so I think the caption on one of the photos that I saw that showed that showed like how many hostages from each side were being released, I think it said something along the lines of like, it's very clear to see who what was the word that they used, like who the real
hostages were or who the real victims were.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, Hamas versus them.
Yeah,
can we say that on the podcast, that word? Can we say that word?
Hummus. Say hummus. But our reactions were probably very similar, and like my wife had like a very positive reaction to it. I was being very skeptical, and like I didn't know what to feel at the time.
Yeah, I kind of just waited it.
Like, exactly.
Waited it out.
Yeah. And at first I was hearing news of them like canceling the ceasefire deal or whatever.
Really?
But there are reports that they actually are continuing with it.
Okay.
So there's very mixed news on it initially. But I'm going to go with the more positive news, which is that they're actually going through with it. But I want to give the details on exactly what they are, because like people thought when a ceasefire is like completely like everything is done, you know, they're kind of going back to status quo, which is not really a good thing, you know, overall. If you look at the bigger picture, it's not really still in a good place for the Palestinian people, but at least it's something, it's better than what they originally had, right?
That's true, yeah.
So they actually split the deal into three phases. They've only really negotiated the first phase.
Okay.
Like the second phase, there's like talks about what's going to be included in it, but the first phase is like what's actually happening now. And then second phase, they're like, if that one goes well, then we're going to talk about that one. So on the first phase, it's going to be, they're going to release 33 hostages in Gaza.
Hummuses, yeah.
Hummuses. And then they're going to be releasing 737 hostages from the... Well, Israel is going to be releasing 737 hostages on their side, which is crazy. Like, first off, where are they getting these hostages? Because these aren't hostages from Gaza. These are hostages from the West Bank and like other Palestinian people who are not involved, because there is actually a second group of people, which is 1,167 Gazan residents.
Where are they?
Huh? Those were the ones who were taken from Gaza. So like when they invaded Gaza, they took a lot of the residents of those places as hostages as well, right? So they're going to be releasing 1,167 of those people. So the fact that they even had 700 plus and have plenty more, we know about thousands of hostages in the West Bank and in the occupied territories of which is currently called Israel. Like, if you look into a lot of those cases, first off, there's a lot of women and children who are involved in that.
Yeah.
And none of them have had like proper trials or whatever. That's why we're considering them to be hostages, even though a lot of the reports that are coming out are calling them prisoners.
Oh.
Right? They're calling prisoners. And usually when you refer to a prisoner, it means that they've committed a crime.
Right.
But a lot of these people who they're releasing have not even committed a crime. They just happen to cross paths with some IOF or IDF soldiers. And they're like, yeah, you're coming with us. We suspect you threw a rock 10 days ago.
Get out of here.
It's like a different person, whatever. It's all their the claims that they make that these people did or the crimes that they say they did, they're usually made up. Or 99% of the time, it's made up.
That's crazy, right? That they're imprisoning children,
if not 100%. Yeah, it's and you see the videos. They're video proof of this happening, right? But they've been able to, of course, you know, we spoke about this before. They've been able to dehumanize them.
Yeah.
To the point where people don't really second guess it when they say these people are prisoners and they've committed crimes, even if they are women and children. Don't forget about the men, too. The men, too. There are a lot. Of course, there's more men than the women and children. But just due to how society works and stuff, like, usually people are... They emphasize more on the men and women and children, who are usually a lot more of the, at least generally, are a lot more seen as a lot more innocent, even though the men should be just as innocent, at least when you're dealing with this country specifically. So that's the first phase. And also they're told to, the IDF is told to like move back into like a buffer zone, which would basically allow a lot of the people in Gaza who are currently in the south being able to go back to the north to kind of start.
Israel agreed to that?
Huh?
They agreed to that?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. This
was actually one of the major sticking points.
Okay.
To allow the people to go back to the north. Because remember, there's that whole talk of them basically occupying the north, and like you saw people making like beachfront properties and saying, oh, that one day, that day is going to be mine, that land is going to be ours. And you saw like there were these crazy videos of people who made like lookout points where people would take like tours, like they would take children to these lookout points to look over Gaza and be like, oh, one day all this will be ours.
That's insane,
right? And like they would literally watch bombs raining on these people like it's a fireworks show in the way that they're reacting. It's horrible how the mindset of these people, right?
Yeah.
Something that's ingrained in them as children. And they just grow up thinking, yeah, these are not real people. They're like cockroaches to us. They don't think about it in that. They don't think about them as people who have lives and families and people that are just like them.
The amount of hatred they would have to be able to like, not propagate isn't the word, but like to, what's the word? What's the verb for propaganda? Propagate?
Is it maybe propagate? Let me pull that up.
I think.
Breed specimens? No.
No.
No. Wait, isn't propaganda... I've never heard another way of... aggrandize? Propagandize?
What did you say?
I don't know. Propagate
makes sense logically. Ganda. But anyways, what I'm trying to say is like the amount of hatred that they're spewing onto their citizens and like... Israelis who, like you said, like grew up with that mentality, that's very scary and like very sad. And like,
I don't know how you even like unbrainwash these people, or how do you take them out of that mindset or make them see these people differently if it's all they've known their whole life.
It's similar to like how back in the day Americans used to view black people. White Americans, that is.
Unfortunately, I guess a lot of the solutions here will come with time, at least when it comes to the brainwashing. Sure, when it comes to a free Palestine, like, time is of the essence for that.
Yeah.
And that needs to happen. Because just like the civil rights movement in America, that happened before they fully changed the minds of the Americans.
That's true.
Yeah, like, they fought for their rights, and they got their rights, even though there are still a large majority of the country did not agree with them being equal to them or did not want them to be equal to them. And then over time, as they integrate into society a lot more, then they started to kind of change its perspective, or at least the newer generations continue to change their perspective, because their parents could tell them so much, but once they start interacting with people who have been villainized by their parents for so long and see that they're not actually who their parents say they are, then it's hard to kind of fight against that.
Yeah, no, 100%.
So there will be at some point, you know, if realistically, there will be some type of integration that I see where, like, Palestinians and Israelis, or formerly, I don't know what the new country name would be, but, like, I would want it to be Palestine, but you know how global politics, it might be something else. We don't know. But they would have to live side by side at some point.
Inshallah, they're able to reach a day where mm-hmm. they can coexist mm-hmm. and peacefully, that is.
Yeah, but it's going to be really hard for especially what they've already done to their people.
Yeah,
100%. But yeah, so that was all just talking about the first phase. First phase, a lot of it is just related to hostage swapping, basically. And phase two, which hasn't been fully like planned out yet, but the first like things that they've been mentioning is that Hamas will be releasing a lot of the Israeli soldiers that were taken captive.
That were imprisoned.
Mm. And then there will be a lasting ceasefire. So right now it's a temporary ceasefire.
Yeah.
Until they can get these swapping of the
hostages.
And then 16 days later is when they're going to start negotiating the second phase. Which is for a permanent ceasefire. And then Inshallah. Including the release of the Israeli hostages. And actually, the remaining hostage by phase two, the remaining hostages will be returned to Israel.
Yeah.
The ones that the Hamas is currently holding. And that's hopefully going to lead to the third phase, which they don't know when that's going to happen yet. But that's essentially when they're going to be reconstructing Gaza, basically. Like, the people are going to be allowed to start reconstructing and kind of rebuilding. And just to talk about, like, the resilience of the Palestinian people, I saw a video where a guy was, they were like, what are you going to do the moment the ceasefire takes place? And he said, the first thing I'm going to do is go back up to the north. And they're like, what are you going to do? And he's like, I'm going to find my house. And they're like, what are you going to do if it's all torn down? He's like, I'll rebuild it with my eyelashes. Yeah.
Oh my God.
He said, I'll rebuild it with my eyelashes. And then he said, for the walls, I'll rebuild it with my eyes. And like, he was just like, essentially, he was like, it's like a poetry talking about like how he will rebuild, basically.
Yeah.
So these people are the most resilient people in the world.
Yeah.
So I have no doubt that the moment they're able to reconstruct, mm-hmm. we will see a reformation of a better and stronger Gaza and a stronger people.
Inshallah.
And inshallah, they will be able to use that strength and that momentum, that strength to continue to fight for their full freedom, a full free of Palestine, including the people of the West Bank, who are also going through, not, of course, they weren't going with the Gazan people were going through, but they're also going through apartheid currently.
Yeah.
So to dismantle all of that, we might not see it in, you know, the next president, U.S. president's term, because he's not really the person we should be looking at for that. You know, alhamdulillah, this kind of went through before he got into presidency.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's gonna take some time, but
yeah,
we're here to support him, man. We're just glad that there is a ceasefire that's occurring, and it's only, we can just use the momentum. Everybody's awake, they know the situation now. So I feel like because a lot of people are informed on the situation, that it will help with them continuing this fight for a full free Palestine, because they have more of a population behind them, or more of the world behind them in this situation.
Yeah, like, I don't want our initial skepticism, like our reaction to the ceasefire announcement, to like minimize how great of a news this is, even if it is a temporary ceasefire. Like, relief in any form is relief, right? Mm-hmm. So inshallah, we'll just continue to pray that phase two and three kind of work out in the Palestinians' favor.
Yeah. Oh, and actually, one big part also of phase one, I think it's a phase one. Yeah, of phase one is that because the IDF is moving into more of a buffer zone, or moving outside of the buffer zone or into a buffer zone, more trucks, or almost all the trucks, will be allowed to come in from the Rafah border, from the Egypt border with Palestine, to bring aid.
Okay.
So basically, like, all these people who haven't had access to aid for so long will finally be able to get access to it. And at least the people won't be, or at least most people won't be dying of hunger and dying of things that are easily taken care of with a quick doctor's trip, or literally just eating one or two meals.
Yeah.
Right. So that's also another very big positive to the situation. And alhamdulillah, you know, it's been 462 days.
Insane.
Of this happening, and of this genocide.
Mm-hmm.
And alhamdulillah, you know, we've been able to see it happen sooner rather than later, because I thought it, I didn't know that this was going to be happening this soon. Like, yeah. It sounds weird saying soon, but like, I didn't expect it to happen now. I was like, oh, it's okay. We just have a ceasefire deal.
I know. It came out of nowhere.
Right? Yep. But that might also be because I just wasn't paying attention to the actual dealings and what was being kind of done behind closed doors, or maybe there was reports that I just wasn't seeing. But yeah, that was the biggest news of this week, at least for us. And as you've seen, like in the podcast, mm-hmm. whenever I post a video at the end of the podcast, always says Free Palestine, right?
Yeah, it's been saying
so
that.
And I'm always gonna say Free Palestine and mm-hmm. always keep that there. But yeah, it's some just good news for the week, right?
Yeah, I mean,
even though our initial reactions were kind of sketchy, what do you call it? Our initial reactions skeptical. Were very skeptical.
Mm.
Now that it's Sunday and we're seeing that it's actually moving through with the deal, I'm a lot more positive on the situation. I have more of a positive feeling about it.
Yeah. Speaking of mm-hmm. change that's taking place on a Sunday, I feel like we have to talk about it.
Oh, yeah. So the next super big thing, we talked about it last week where you were like, oh, is this going to happen?
Yeah.
And there are a lot of jokes, but yeah, you can go ahead and...
So, unfortunately for our southern neighbors, mm-hmm. TikTok is officially banned in the U.S., but I think it's temporary because the message that Americans have been getting states that, like, Trump is actually working to, like, come to a resolution. And I was scrolling through TikTok mm-hmm. today, not to rub it in your faces, sorry, but I was scrolling through and I saw this post where... Mm-hmm. Someone was like, wait, are they actually all gone? Oh my God, mm-hmm. it's so peaceful on this app now. And all the comments were like, oh my God, we can finally start to use like kilos and centimeters and like Celsius.
Yeah.
And everyone was just going and saying like, wow, mm-hmm. do you see that? A comment section with no hate, no weird comments. Mm-hmm. It's just like normal. It's peaceful. And I'm like, damn, everyone's hating on the Americans.
What?
But
all these people were haters the whole time,
but like leading up
they're
to Sunday
on your downfall, guys.
Let me just tell you guys, because I texted Amir a couple days ago and I was like, you need to learn this song. It became like the closing
I actually went through the lyrics too. So
so leading up to the TikTok ban, mm-hmm. you know, I just feel like American humor, and maybe it's like specifically mm-hmm. Black American humor, mm-hmm. is so, they don't take anything seriously.
Yeah.
Like everything turns into a joke.
Mm-hmm.
And so they decided to download this app called Red Note.
Yeah.
Which is actually, there's a Chinese name for it, but it's a Chinese app. Basically,
it's Xiao Hong Shu, or I think that's what it is.
Something like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Americans started to migrate towards mm-hmm. this Red Note app. Last week.
Ironically.
And mm. they were saying things like, you know what, it's my data. Let me be the, like, let me decide if I want it to be sold to someone yeah. else. And I'm like, that's a very ignorant statement to mm-hmm. say. But what kills me is, like, have you seen the amount of people that have been trying to learn Chinese?
Yeah.
Mandarin, probably?
Yeah. There's literally, like, videos. Even Red Note, because they knew a lot of people were kind of coming over, they added like captions to every video.
Yes.
Because of that, because they yeah. knew a lot more of American audience would be coming.
That and like some, like I guess content creators that have been using Red Note for a mm-hmm. while that are probably in China or just Chinese mm-hmm. people, came out with videos of like etiquettes. You're a guest, like mm-hmm. if you're gonna post, you know, we welcome it. We're not gonna be like discriminatory like you guys are.
like you guys are,
but they were saying like if you're gonna post videos, yeah. make sure you post English and I don't know.
Support for this podcast is brought to you by Walden University. Ever catch yourself thinking, what if I could go after what I actually want and really make a difference? You're not alone. And that's exactly why I want to tell you about Walden University. For over 50 years, Walden has helped working adults like you get the W with the knowledge and skills to build the future you want and make a difference where it matters most. If you've been waiting for the right moment, this is it. Head to waldenu.edu and take that first step. Walden University. Set a course for change. Certified to operate by Chev.
What language is the one?
Cantonese or Mandarin?
Probably Mandarin.
Mandarin is probably the
most. But they were saying like add both languages as mm-hmm. subtitles. And I'm telling you. And then did you hear about the guy who was mistaken for the Red Note CEO?
No. I heard that the people were saying the Red Nose CEO made a video welcoming people.
Okay, so he's not. He's just a random guy.
That's so racist. And he was... The like Asian guy talking to us about welcoming us to Wagner must be the CPO.
But like CEO. They literally just like picked him out of the blue. He was just like, welcome to the app. Like just welcome people. Yeah. You know, you guys are finally using this app.
Yeah.
And then I think he posted it on like his girlfriend's channel or something like that. And then the girlfriend, like her friend was like, isn't this your boyfriend? Like everyone's saying that he's the CEO.
Yeah. I would have kept running with that.
But they took this thing and ran. Like, I love American humor so much. It's so funny.
Yeah.
And then it took like a really sad turn and people like, I guess midweek started posting more like emotional content. You know, a lot of people have really,
I saw a lot of goodbye videos.
Yes.
Almost every TikToker you could think of was putting up a goodbye video.
Yeah, like, you know, and I understand, like, you know, this was the platform that really launched certain people into like stardom and success.
There are thousands of small businesses that relied on TikTok.
Oh yeah, 100%. So, you know, it's very sad in that sense. And I was like, damn, like, I kind of feel bad for them, you know?
Yeah, because like, you literally think about it like this. How about if one day YouTube just was gone?
Oh, we'd be screwed.
Think about all those creators.
Yeah.
All those like content creators and businesses that were using that page to promote their content, to promote their products and everything, just gone right away. Like, no, just, you know, one day you have a business, the next day you have no business left.
It's very scary. But you know, like, then I started seeing jokes from like people in London or Canada that were saying like, I'm going to screen record me scrolling through my FYP and I'm going to
send to their American friends.
$35 a pop. And I was like, oh my goodness, this is too funny. But, you know, I don't know if this ban's going to be permanent. I don't think it will be.
Yeah, like a lot of people are saying that this is, especially with the news, people are talking about like Mark Zuckerberg might be involved, which Facebook CEO
might be involved.
And the I think his name is Xu, the guy who owns TikTok, or the CEO of TikTok America. He apparently is talking with Trump. Oh yeah, that was actually one of the messages, right? Like, he's working with Trump and possibly Mark Zuckerberg about like coming with some deal for it. So
all I'm saying is because I saw the American saying like, not TikTok, like take Snapchat, take something we don't care about.
Yeah.
But I feel like if maybe Mark Zuckerberg is being, he's not being an opportunist in this case, but he could have been, and he could have really made some changes to Instagram. Cause I feel like every change and update that has happened through Instagram has like almost made the app worse, where that's why people love TikTok so much.
Yeah.
You know, and this would have been his perfect opportunity.
Yeah. But now he's in bed with Trump. So yeah, I feel like at this point, they can kind of rig the game however they want.
That is true.
Clearly, with like what happened with TikTok, they're basically muscling another company using this whole like being connected to a Chinese, the Chinese government or a Chinese company that's connected to the Chinese government as like a cover for the fact that they just wanted to get rid of the competition, either that's absorb crazy. The competition or get rid of it, right? Because that's been their MO forever, like especially Facebook with Meta and like Instagram.
Right.
They're... whole history has been them copying and stealing other people's ideas, whether it be Snapchat or even TikTok when Reels started coming back, and YouTube with like longer form content.
Right.
So they're always taking like pieces of other social medias to try and kind of like prop themselves up all the way to the top.
But they still just like, I don't know what it is with the Instagram
like, it's
updates.
The whole thing of like when you're copying something, like you can't do better than the company who came up with the idea originally. If that makes sense. I don't know how. Yeah, I think that like you're it's kind of like a watered down version of what you got. Like the Reels are a watered down version of TikTok because they don't have the algorithm.
Yeah.
Which is the most valuable part of TikTok. I think I mentioned that last week.
Yeah.
Because even if they did, if TikTok sold its American branch, because it was just to sell the American branch of TikTok to an American company, they wouldn't have the algorithm. The algorithm is with ByteDance, which is the owner of TikTok, and that one's in China.
Yeah.
Because TikTok itself was all in America. Everything was done in America. It just happened to be owned by a company that was also in China.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So it's an interesting situation. I feel bad for all, like you mentioned, I feel bad for all the people who are losing their businesses and their streams of income. Like people, someone was mentioning that, like, it's not that TikTok was only like a business for a lot of people and those bigger TikToks that you were seeing, TikTokers that you were seeing, but it was almost like a second stream of income for even smaller people.
Yeah.
Like people who maybe would post like their cooking videos every once in a while, or they weren't making enough to live off of.
Right.
Solely on that, but they were making supplementary income to help them pay their bills.
I wish now we had the creator fund in Canada.
That's the one thing. It's like nobody else had the creator fund, which is why like you see some people who don't really have as much sympathy for the Americans.
Yeah.
Not realizing how people kind of in America relied on it.
Right.
Right. Because your promise is a whole new thing. America's already going through a lot of like economic troubles. Well, economically, America is supposedly doing better. But when you hear like the more anecdotal cases or like the individual cases, it doesn't seem like that. But maybe the reason that America seemed like it was doing better is because people were making money off of apps like TikTok.
Yeah.
And maybe there are more people making money off of this than we thought. Because there are 100, I think it said 170 million people were using TikTok
in America,
which is more than half of the population.
That is insane.
I believe more than half the population. So if that many people have lost access to that app, and we don't know how many of those people were actually making money off of it because it's a multi-billion dollar company.
Right.
You might actually see an economic setback from this.
That's crazy.
And I don't know how the government didn't think about that, or I think they just saw that there was a middle class rising, and they're like, because apparently, well, not apparently, it seems like governments hate the middle class. So anytime they see like the middle class rising or making something for themselves in some way, they kind of try and tear that down as quickly as possible. But you know, it's a weird situation. And now, like, even Pierre Poilievre, which is a conservative leader in Canada, mm-hmm. is talking about, like, also one of his talking points when he runs for prime minister is to ban TikTok, which is like you're basically sealing the deal, but you're like securing his loss.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He's securing his loss by saying that
100%.
Because there are a lot of the youth, a lot of the voters, people who are able to vote now in Canada, a lot of them are like youth. Or like people within like 18 to I think it's like 35, something like that. That age range are the people who are willing to vote, and those are people who use the app.
That's true.
Right? Of course, turnout for young voters hasn't really been very good in Canada.
I hope that this year they
When you have a situation like this where someone's also willing to do essentially what they did in America, you might get some more voters come out, right? So I don't know if that was a very good thing to stake a claim or like make. Put a position out there like that for at least for the Conservative Party.
Yeah.
But anything that will lose them the seat, I'm kind of happy about. I don't really like Pierre Poilievre. He looks like a Bond villain, and I'm getting political. He kind of looks like a Bond villain, and like he only interacts with the rich kind of person. I think someone said that he recently had like a fundraiser with a bunch of millionaires, and then the next day he came out with one of his policy positions was to like cut the taxes of people making more than $1.4 million a year. Yeah, because apparently they still believe in trickle-down economics, which does not work. Trickle-down economics is not a thing. Like, there are a lot of people in the comments being like, yeah, there are people who are like us being like, oh, yeah, sure, give them tax breaks. You know, millionaires create jobs. It's like, no, they don't.
Mm-mm.
These people make money, and millionaires want to become billionaires, and the way they do that is by exploiting their current workers and cutting their workforces.
Yeah.
To basically, they want less overhead. They want to make more money with less overhead, so they're not gonna. They don't want to create more jobs.
Exactly.
More and statistically, it's smaller businesses that create more jobs, and the smaller businesses aren't the ones who are making $1.4 million every year, right?
Yeah.
So those are the businesses that you need to be funneling money into. So I don't know. Maybe the other parties will have some solution for that, but that's me on politics. I'm gonna be done with that. So the next thing that we want to talk about is something that's actually happening tomorrow. There's a lot happening this week.
Mm-hmm.
We had the ceasefire. We had TikTok being banned. And as you mentioned, the next administration that's coming into the White House is the Trump administration.
Dun, dun, dun.
And they actually said that they might be trying to do something to reverse that ban, which is why so many people are kind of like, I think this is his way of trying to win a lot of voters that typically wouldn't vote for him.
Yeah.
It might actually work if he actually gets it back, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
But he's being sworn in tomorrow. Well, the day after we post this. By the time we post this, he would already be in office.
Yeah.
And we don't know. There's a lot that he can do in those 3 days, especially with executive orders.
I'm scared.
So a lot can change in the next 3 days or next 3 or 4 days since we recorded this. But right now, what are your feelings on him being sworn in? What do you think will happen?
To be honest, my cousin who lives in D.C. was sending me pictures of, I guess, like the main
stage,
like area and how it's completely like fenced off.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
So I feel like they're worried that people are going to try and attack him.
Well, they've like already been like 3 assassination attempts. So.
I mean, do you really think that time you got shot in the ear was real? Or what? Do you think it was like staged?
Well, yeah, because the guy behind him died.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So I think that like with Trump, it kind of like the only way that I can tell you how I feel is like, you know, the feeling of like you got to hold your breath because you're trying to brace for impact.
Yeah.
It's like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm very much like similar. Like there's a lot of promises that he's made.
Yeah.
That I feel like a lot of times when he says stuff, he might be just as senile as Biden is, but just like he's able to talk a little more because I feel like he says stuff that. It like I mentioned with Pierre Poilievre, he just sounds like a Bond villain. He's like, yeah, I'm gonna take over Greenland. If we need to use, military support, whatever, we'll do it. I'm gonna make Canada the 51st state, right? I think the biggest thing that people are currently worried about is a tariff situation.
Mm-hmm.
I know that was a big story like a few weeks ago, but now that he's actually gonna be sworn in,
right?
This is gonna be huge news, right?
Yeah,
because he can. I don't know how. These executive order things, you know about the executive orders? It's like usually whenever like last time he was sworn into office, he did like a bunch of executive orders. That's how we got like the Muslim ban, right? And like the wall building stuff. I don't know. There's a lot of things he just signed.
Right.
And like I guess as president, he's just able to do these things.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing I believe he might be able to do is with an executive order, like increase the tariffs. Because there's no honor. There's no honor in deals with this guy. Like, sure, he's a businessman, and usually businessmen are supposed to be honoring deals, but we have deals with, we have like the North American Trade Agreement. I forget the exact name of it.
NAFTA? Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That one, but I believe he like abandoned that with this whole tariff situation.
Yeah.
So there's basically going to be a tariff war going on between Canada and America, which are supposed to be allies, especially with what happened in like the LA fires. Like you see that we were supposed to be supporting each other. This is how we're supposed to be working together.
Right.
But he clearly doesn't have those same values. So that's going to be an interesting. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with that because it's definitely going to affect Canadians a lot.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I already know.
So this is going to be a moment where like a lot of Canadians will kind of have to stick together a lot more.
Yeah.
I know we already have our own internal issues.
I know.
Going on. So, and there's going to be a lot changing in Canada in the next couple months, right? We're going to be getting a new prime minister by March, I believe. I think that's when they're dealing it.
The vote
coming out officially with it, or they're doing the vote. But there have already been people coming out saying, I'm running for the new. At least the only person that I've seen that's been running for the new Liberal leader is Mark Carney.
Who's that again?
Huh?
Who's that?
You don't know him, bro.
Oh, yeah. His name.
Apparently, he really helped Canada get out of or not be affected by the 2008. Financial crash.
Oh, the recession?
Yeah, recession.
Really?
Yeah, like America was affected a lot more than Canada was. That's why like there was one point. Remember around that time, Canada actually had a dollar equivalent to America?
Wow.
I think it was in like 2012 or something like that.
What a time to be alive.
Yeah. Like 2008 to 2012, like our dollar was almost equivalent and actually at one point went over.
What?
And was more valuable than the American dollar.
Because
we... What?
I don't remember that. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember that very well. Yeah.
How do you remember that, but you don't remember your clothes?
I was making money by then. You know, I definitely knew about that. But yeah, so they said that a lot of that can be contributed, or at least he said that that can be contributed to him, Mark Carney, because he was working with the banks at the time or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So he's currently running for the Liberal leader. And I just hope that Pierre Poilievre just keeps putting his foot in his mouth so he doesn't win, but that's just my personal opinion.
He's a conservative.
Like, yeah. He's just very like anti-Muslim. He doesn't like immigrants so much. Yeah. So
inshallah, he doesn't win.
Yeah. So that's going to be an interesting situation, especially with a new prime minister having to deal with Trump. You're going to have someone, you're going to need someone who's going to be strong. And for Muslims specifically in America, like, I don't know, he hasn't talked about implementing another Muslim ban or whatever.
No.
Yeah, but
he could just decide to do it.
Yeah, but I believe, like, he's kind of taking his foot off the pedal on the whole Muslim situation. Maybe it's not a hot topic right now, but we don't know, right?
Yeah.
So a lot can change in the next 3 days.
100%.
Next 4 days, whenever this, well, we know it's posting on Thursday, but whenever you see this. And, yeah, I'm just kind of like, that was the biggest thing on my mind, like, about the tariff situation.
Yeah.
Right? Well, it would have been what's happening with Palestine, but because now we have the ceasefire, like, I'm not as worried about that. My next focus has been on the tariffs because I know how much it's going to affect our pockets.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you want to buy things that are produced or created in the States.
It's not only that, it's just like it affects our dollar.
Yeah,
right. And when your dollar is affected, everything else is affected, because if your dollar is less valuable,
yeah,
then buying other companies who are buying items from outside of Canada, whether it be in America or other places in the world, then the prices, if the prices go up for them, they usually don't eat those costs. They pass them on to us.
Yeah.
Right. I feel like this whole, like, remember we had the whole tax break situation for 2 months?
Yeah.
I feel like that was kind of just like, you know, you're going to be hit pretty hard soon, so let's just give you a little bit of a break.
I know.
Right. Because we're not going to feel it initially for the next first month.
Right.
But these trade negotiations, these trade situations, you usually don't see the effects for like months down the line.
Yeah.
Right. So
it needs to pick up traction and like actually, what's the word I'm trying to use?
Mm-hmm.
Like you need to actually see like the effects of it.
Yeah. But it's going to be interesting what's happening in Canada. You know, that's my main concern, what's happening here when he gets sworn in, because his rhetoric and what he's been saying has been so almost like unbelievable.
Yeah. Do you think he has like that much?
I don't know what to take seriously. What?
You think he has that much of an influence on Canada? Trump, that is?
Oh, yeah. Like America is definitely like the only reason Canada is almost being protected. Like, we don't have to work, we don't have to invest so much in our defense because America invests so much in it.
True.
And because we're their closest ally.
True.
We've kind of like taken advantage of that and put our money in other places, right? But, you know, it might be something we have to kind of rethink now, because he's saying, I'm not going to protect y'all or whatever, right?
I know.
So it's going to be an interesting situation. So the last one, I know nobody likes to talk about weather. Okay. But apparently, in the next couple of days, we'll be in the middle of it when this posts. But everybody's been talking about this polar vortex that's coming. But apparently, we're not going to be hit with it as hard as everybody else.
I mean, have you checked the weather?
It's not going to be as bad. Like, they're saying that the inauguration
for
Trump will be the coldest inauguration on record.
Really?
Yeah, in like 40 plus something years or whatever.
Actually, DC has been getting like an insane amount of snow.
But this polar vortex will be affecting more of America. Like, I think in Chicago will be colder than us. Detroit will be colder than us.
Like in the minus 20s, 30s.
Yeah, they're like already there kind of thing.
Oh my God.
But the reason we're not being affected as much is because of like the lake effect. We're closer to the lake. I think like the lake kind of protects us from that a little bit. And we're kind of more on the edge of it.
Yeah.
But in America, like even the South is getting hit by this polar vortex.
Yes.
So they're getting cold weather as well. So everyone in America is kind of getting hit by this at once. So that's going to be like big news in the next couple of days. We'll see how that affects us specifically.
Yeah.
But we're not getting hit with it as hard. So I'm like, okay, I'm chilling, man. We already know how to deal with like cold, cold weather. But there's going to be places that don't normally have this happen.
Yeah.
That's going to be deal with it. And I think this is also playing into the fact that we're seeing more extreme weather year on year. Like every year.
It's like the opposite.
What?
Like places where it's typically warmer
is
now freezing cold, and places where typically freezing colder now warmer. Like
yeah.
I just saw like minus 16 for us, which isn't like, it's cold, don't get
me
wrong.
When did you see minus 16? Also, my phone has been doing this weird thing where it switched over to Fahrenheit and I can't switch it back. I don't know, it literally will not let me switch it back to Celsius, and I have no idea how to read any of this.
Oh, is yours say 22?
Yeah,
damn. What I don't know how to change it. I haven't used my Google Pixel yet.
I need to figure that out.
I would help you, but I don't know how.
So maybe the fact that I'm not reading this correctly is making me feel a lot more positive about the situation, but
maybe
I just know that we're not getting it as bad as the people to the south of us, you know?
Yeah.
And it kind of like it fits in with what's going on in America currently. TikTok going down.
Yep.
And now Trump is getting, and actually this is something that someone mentioned going back kind of to TikTok, is that like there's one girl who's getting emotional because she was like, now like when things happen, there's like no place I can go to like talk to everybody about this, right? Because before when something big happened, the first place you go to was TikTok to see all the reactions, because you know that the algorithm was going to feed you all the reactions to whatever's going on currently. But like she's like, it's kind of weird because she can't go to TikTok to talk about and see reactions to TikTok being taken down.
Oh, right? I get what you mean.
It's like this is a place that she used to go to for years to see the reactions of everybody, like to talk about this thing, but there's nothing, right? Because those people who would normally be reacting to it aren't able to use it.
Yep.
Right? So it's a really weird situation. And now with like Trump getting in and with not with TikTok going down, with this whole polar vortex, like people, you won't see the memes about it that are going on. You won't see all the jokes. You won't see like the reactions. You won't see like the areas that might have some extreme like weird weather, not reactions, but like.
I think they might kind of like migrate back to Instagram or maybe just use like
Twitter. But we won't get that. Like the algorithm fed you, because you when you're on your for FYP, like it would only feed you people you basically weren't following. Right?
Of course,
you'd get some people that you are following, but for the most part, it's always someone new that you're seeing.
Yeah.
But with Instagram, it usually kind of feeds you the same things.
Yes.
You're rarely seeing anybody new. Whenever you are seeing some new things, like it's like
random.
Not, yeah, it's very random, right? It doesn't really curate it as well as TikTok did. And TikTok, I feel like one aspect of the algorithm that maybe other companies haven't
picked up on
is that it was very aware of what was trending.
Yes.
And it would feed you things related to what was trending.
Yeah,
it would give you the things that you currently like, that you personally like, but it would give you other things that are trending, and even things that you normally like. How many times have we been on TikTok and it'll be like a girl talking about in the middle of a story, it'll be like part three, and TikTok knows that if it gives you that, a very interesting story that's getting a lot of reactions, you're gonna go through and check all the other parts of the story.
That's very
and now
true.
You're like fully you fully know about like some drama that you normally wouldn't know about.
Look at Risa Tisa.
Yeah, exactly.
Overnight Risa sensation.
Tisa. Yeah, people were getting like part 25 and be like, damn, okay, I guess I'm going back.
Yeah.
Right? So that's something that was like almost, that was very exclusive to TikTok. And
I mean, doesn't Twitter have like a similar ish?
I don't use Twitter, so I don't know, sure.
I don't either, but like I know like I started using Threads a little bit more. It's kind of like, actually Threads is kind of random, but it does have somewhat of an algorithm. It's just not as good as TikTok.
Yeah. Well, people are moving over to Blue Sky now, like Twitter. Blue Sky? You never heard of Blue Sky? I think I've talked about it on here.
Blue Sky?
Yeah. Blue Sky is like basically the new Twitter.
Oh.
Yeah. Like people are leaving Twitter because of Elon. And Elon's going through a whole other thing right now. Like I never put this on here, but there's been some weird drama with him. Where, okay, so essentially Elon says that he's like one of the number one gamers in the world for I think Diablo 4, which is a RTS game, for a video game, I was going to say, for Diablo 4 and a new game called Path of Exile 2. So he, for Diablo 4, he's like, I'm one of the number one gamers.
Like he plays?
Yeah, like he's saying that, right?
Okay.
And he would show his character would be like the number one level, has all the best gear, that kind of thing. And for Path of Exile 2, which is a new game that came out, which is very similar to Diablo 4, he's like, he showed off that he was top 20 in the world. And people were like, okay, you know, this guy's saying he's this level and has this many, whatever, the items he has are like number one in the game.
Right.
But they're like doing the math. They're like, the amount of time he has to play to get to this level and the time that this game has been out, he must be playing like 10 hours a day, like minimum.
That's impossible.
Right? Yeah. And then he had a live stream where he was essentially playing the game with his character that he said that he's built up, and he was making so many mistakes, and like it clearly showed that it was almost like his second or third time even playing this game ever.
So how did he get?
So that's the thing. So people were pointing out, like, yeah, you definitely had someone just play this for you, get your character up to this level, and now you're acting like it's yours. And he's like, nah, like, it's clearly, like, it's super clear to everyone that he's lying about this, but he's sticking with the story that this is his character, he's built up this character. And anyone that denies that, anyone that talks about it, even people he's liked in the past, he will attack them on Twitter. And if they have a Twitter account, he will... So there's one guy specific called Asmongold, who he was very close friends with. He was DMing this guy personally. Mm. And he even said, like, in DMs, like, hey, dude, like, this stuff is... We clearly see it's not fake. Like, you know, you should probably, like, do better here in this case.
Yeah.
He took away his blue check mark from the
Asmongold. That's so petty.
He, like, took away his, like, moniker showing his gamer tag or whatever, that kind of thing. He, like, demonetized him. And then he was able to slowly get those things back. But it shows that, and he's done this for many people. He just demonetizes them. He takes off their blue checks if he disagrees with them.
That's so petty.
Yeah. So he's basically running. He's a nerd. He's like, he's a dork. I mean, a nerd is different. A dork is someone, a dork is a bad nerd. But he's so, like, fragile, thin skinned.
Yeah. He probably is just
for,
like,
being a billionaire, someone who shouldn't insecure. Care. Yeah. He's super insecure.
Yeah.
Right. And clearly, like, even with the whole H-1B visa situation where he was coming out saying that he likes this visa because he can bring cheap labor from outside of America, and all the MAGA people were turning on him for this.
Mm.
And he was doing the same thing, like taking away people's check marks.
Right.
What do you call it? Censoring them when about what they're saying. So it's... just an interesting to see, like, even if you're a billionaire, you're still not going to be happy. Like, he's clearly someone who's not happy and is affected by the smallest things. He has all the money in the world. He doesn't need to be online like this, but he just chooses to do it because he's a dork.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was the last thing I would have mentioned there. But Blue Sky essentially is, like,
I'm going to look it up.
It's a Twitter equivalent.
Okay.
It literally looks exactly like Twitter. Mm-hmm. It's just that all the people who don't want to support Elon anymore, who don't want to support Twitter in general, don't like the discourse on there, have moved over to Blue Sky.
I've noticed that Threads has a lot more users now. Like, a lot more people are actually
Yeah, a lot of people are leaving X for
Threads
or Blue Sky. Blue Sky mainly because Blue Sky also is not connected to Meta. A lot of people don't like Meta because of what Mark Zuckerberg is doing recently with... aligning himself with Trump or whatever.
Yeah.
And Blue Sky is a lot more of, like, the liberal, like, disconnected from all of that.
Gotcha.
It's more of a cleaner place to be.
Gotcha.
Safer place to be, I guess. A safe space.
Literally.
That was also another thing that was happening this week. But, you know, that was more in my world. But
it was a busy week.
Yeah. So if you all liked any of what we were talking about today, make sure, or you wanted to maybe give your own opinions on what was going on today. Oh, shoot. Yes. I wanted to cover some of the comments. My bad.
Yeah. Because the comments this week were so funny. Mm-hmm. And y'all just, like, went in. I was laughing so much. Like, I genuinely was, was like, dang, they really went in. First of all, I want to acknowledge, I understand now that Evan Ross and Tracy Ellis are siblings. It's not her son. My bad.
But honestly, when
I looked
at the photos of them,
they look like mother and son.
I kind of see how she could be his mom. Like,
you know,
the age, even the age difference. He's like, I think I looked up. He's like 36. She's 52. Technically.
Right.
36. Wait, let me do the math there. 36, 46, 10. So 20. So yeah, she could have if she had a teenage child, she could have had him as a child. I'm just saying. Okay.
So we got a couple of comments that's like. This one says, besties, Tracy Ellis Ross is childless. That's her brother. My bad.
Thank you for the clarification.
This one is Tyrone. Sarah is an incredible storyteller. Thank you so much. That is a huge compliment.
You did kill it with that story.
Thank you. where was this other one? It was really funny. Oh, it says, LMAO ended her time with the nurses like an LMA truck. That one made me laugh.
Well, I need to post that clip, actually. Yeah.
That was actually really funny. Okay, so actually, this is a regular viewer encouraging both of us to start our running journey. Once you get there, you won't look back. I could barely run 3 kilometers when I started 2 years ago, and now I'm training for a 31-kilometer race in May. That's insane and such a huge accomplishment.
31 kilometers. How much is
a mile? Marathon? Oh, my. 20?
52 kilometers?
Let me ask ChatGPT.
No, I think it's 26 miles, 52 kilometers.
Ooh, yeah. 42 kilometers?
Oh, 42 kilometers, sorry.
26 miles. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Dang. That's
okay. You want to do a marathon?
we'll
work our way up. We'll work our way up.
Yeah, yeah. Literally.
We'll find that 31 kilometer what she's doing when, you know, we've gone through the 10 kilometer race too.
And then someone was just trying to, remember we were looking for the word, it's collective class consciousness. People are waking up.
Yeah.
That's what we were looking for, the word. And then people who are just relating to the story of having weak veins.
Yeah, so. And it actually connected to that collective class consciousness thing.
Mm-hmm.
One thing people are, so now that a lot of Americans are on Red Note,
yeah,
a lot of like, they're kind of comparing things. So the Chinese people
mm-hmm.
are telling the Americans like what propaganda they've been fed by the Chinese government. And the Americans are kind of telling them whether it's true or not. So like the Chinese people would be like, yeah, we were told by the government that you guys have to like pay thousands of dollars for ambulances. And the Americans like, yeah, we kind of have to do that.
Oh my God, everything's becoming like coming out to the light now.
Yeah. And then the Americans are like, yeah, we were told that like you guys don't have houses.
You don't have houses.
And, like you guys don't own houses and stuff. And not realizing that. And then the Chinese are like, no, actually like the difference between you guys is that when we buy houses here, there's no such thing as like property tax or things that you just like pay always, like mm-hmm. you're constantly paying. Once you buy the house,
mm-hmm.
you own that house.
Yeah.
So it's not like you're not indebted to the government forever, pay them for it.
Crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, those were the comments. And then mm-hmm. let me see. I never looked at the comments from the vlog that we posted.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, check out the vlog.
Mm-hmm.
Australia vlog posted part 3. I don't know if there's any part rules.
This is such a nice compliment. I actually mm-hmm. did respond. This is from Mam Samba.
Mm-hmm.
Said, mashallah, you two have one of the best vlogs I've seen in a while, from the switch offs to the scenery, how y'all interact, edits, and everything else. Phenomenal.
That's why it took so damn long to get out.
Thank you kindly.
Mm-hmm.
Someone said, lovely vlog, keep up the good work. Also, when do we get to meet Sada's dad? Amir's dad is so cool, mashallah.
He's not as outgoing as my dad is.
He's a little bit more low key, but yeah, exactly. I'll try to get him on a vlog mm-hmm. or two, maybe sometime this year.
Mm-hmm.
And then someone said, such a wholesome video, please drop the skincare routine, girly, you're glowing. It's because I was on vacation,
mashallah. Look at
all right, we're gonna end the comments here.
Yeah, and we're gonna end the podcast here.
Yeah,
but before you leave, make sure you hit the subscribe button on your way out.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next thing you should do is go to the other app called Instagram and follow us on there.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you're outside of America, go to the next app called TikTok and follow us there. All that because of Connection Pod. Okay.
Exactly.
So thank you again for listening. And we'll see y'all next week. Or actually, will we see you next week?
No.
Sada might be going on a little vacation.
A little hiatus.
Yeah. You'll find out about it on her Instagram. Follow Sada on Instagram at sada.lee.
Sada with 3 A's at the end. So SARAAA. LEEE.
Yeah, and you'll find out exactly where she's going or where she is next week. But until the next episode, we'll see y'all later. Bye.
Okay.
Hey guys, so we just found out after we finished recording that TikTok might actually be back in America.
Maybe they weren't really banned.
Yeah,
maybe
they weren't really. My sister just posted she from there. I got it right now. So and people are posting about how it's back. So
We'll talk about it next time.
Yeah, we'll talk about it next time, but hey, congratulations. Bye.
Bye.